Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlonFarmLife.com.
Hello and welcome to Farm View. Well, as usual, it's Kieran O'Connor here with your weekly farming programme. Well, in this week's show, we'll hear how some farm families face a ticking fair deal time bomb. We'll discuss its implications and the importance of succession planning with Andre of IFAC. We'll also discuss the potential of share farming ahead of the big Chagas Open Day in Bandon with Ruth Fennell of Chagas. And we'll have an update on this year's spring and winter tillage crops with Donal Fitzgerald of Gold Crop. And plus, as always, we'll have our farming calendar.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlonFarmLife.com.
Thousands of farm families face ticking fair deal time bomb. That was the headline on this week's Farming Independent. Nursing home bills could exceed 120,000 per year. That was a staggering and indeed unbelievable headline on the Farming Indo, sensational headline on the Farming Indo earlier this week. So to discuss the implications of this, I would like to get a chance to talk to Andre of IFAC in Dungarvan. Sensational headline, Owen?
Yes, big headline, Kieran, and definitely attract attention. And probably no harm in attract attention to the Fair Deal scheme. What it's really saying to us, Kieran, is that farmers who are farming the land have a successor when they go for the Fair Deal scheme. They can cap the charge of three years, the charge, whereas if a farmer's leasing out their land, that is not available to them. So to take a step back, I suppose, what the Fair Deal is, it's relevant to people who go into nursing homes. When you go into a nursing home, you'll be charged perhaps even up to 70,000 a year. Your options are pay for it yourself out of your own resources. Family sometimes will pay for it, or the third option would be to go for what's called the Fair Deal Loan Scheme. And what that is to put away the charge. The charge will be covered by the state until you're passing. And on reading
your will. Your will as such.
That's right. And there'll be a charge on your will against the charges that you've incurred in the nursing home. So that's capped at 7.5% of the value of your estate. And say a farm that might be worth €1 million, that's 75,000 a year. Mm. So when you pass away, depending on how many number of years you've been in the nursing home, your successor would receive the land, but with a charge of that amount against it.
And we've been speaking several times, and you've been highlighting the importance of looking at succession good and early. If a person is, say, to go into a nursing home in the next week or 10 days, when should he have, we say, applied as such? Or obviously, next week is too late.
Yeah, unfortunately, with that example, I suppose, to avoid situations where people transfer land the evening before they go into a nursing home, I suppose they brought in a 5-year look back. So, meaning that if you have transferred land within 5 years of going into a nursing home, your land is still eligible and comes into account. So, really, the answer, Kieran, is transfer the land 5 years before you go into a nursing home. Now, obviously, none of us know what that date is. So, really, the answer is deal with this stuff earlier rather than later.
Succession, as regards, there's no ideal age for long while farming and farming families kicked it down the road. I was speaking to you recently, over the last number of years, guys are looking at earlier, looking at various options for succession, be it partnership, be it a company, whatever, but really looking at it earlier. What age should farmers and farm families be looking at it from?
Yeah, as you say, every farm is very different, everyone is very different, but if you look at it, a broad answer, I always think kind of from 55 to 65, right? The relevant dates there, if you think of a lot of people at 55, they have kids maybe are coming into their 20s, starting to show what their interests are, where they might be living longer term. 65 then, kids are maybe in their 30s, you probably know where they're going to live, maybe marriage, etc. like that is starting to come onto the horizon. So, you know, I think there's a window there, 60 to 65.
Right.
At 66, then you get a pension, which is a few more pounds into the house, which also right. assists in succession, you know.
Now, of course, who, where and how are the key questions within all of this?
Yes. So, like the when have we covered, I suppose, where then, I suppose, where to start, I always think is yourself, right? Because, you know, when I talk about succession, you know, people often think, you know, we talk about succession plan, what's a succession plan? I think there's four key elements to it really, Kieran, and I think the most important of those four is yourself, as in the landowner and their security.
Okay.
So, you know, you need to look at it as regards how much do you need. So after you give away the farm, if you give away the farm, how much do you need to survive? And there's no good in giving away the farm and then realising you don't have enough to survive. So you need to work out that, and your accountant is ideally placed to answer that, because those figures are in your accounts every year, okay? Once you get over that and you hopefully come to the answer that you can afford to transfer the land and that you have a successor to transfer to, you're then looking at other items such as we started at the top with Fair Deal. You know, on Fair Deal, we'll say transfer the land earlier rather than later for reasons we said earlier. Other items then are obviously tax, and hopefully that's quite complex, but without getting into it, hopefully your accountant can assist you with that, but certainly a lot easier plan for the earlier start planning. And finally is family harmony, and that is certainly not an easy one, but sometimes to try and get a perfect answer in that regard is the enemy of getting a good plan. So sometimes you have to accept it's not always easy in land and land division to come up with the perfect answer. But again, to give it time and work through it with the family, without always being able to come up with a perfect answer, you can often come up with an answer that's acceptable.
And as I say, farm families, and you've seen from your experience before we come in here, you mentioned you're here involved in IFAC here in the ground around 17 years in total. The change of attitude towards going earlier, so the mid-50s is ideal. And then, of course, there's a grant available for succession planning.
Yeah, so, like, you know, the state through the department and revenue have also recognised that we have a major challenge in this area as a farming community, and thankfully they've come up with a couple of supports. The department, through a lot of supports through partnerships and incentives for young trained farmers, and the revenue lately with a grant of €1,500 to assist in the cost of doing these succession plans, you know. So it's really good from that side. So all parties involved here are recognising the importance of it and giving a few incentives to get people talking.
So the key message once again, and you've been beating this drum for a while, why thousands of farm families looking at the farming in the ticking bomb as regards the Fair Deal time bomb as such, your main advice is go about it early, particularly for a family and once you hit the mid-50s.
Yeah, go about it early. I think mid-50s, I don't really expect anyone to start acting on it, but certainly start talking at that stage. Potentially with a view to actually acting into the mid-50s would probably be, into the mid-60s, I should say, would probably be ideal. And where to start? I would say start talking to between yourselves, and also start talking to your advisors, accountants, solicitor, and traffic advisors. You know?
Well, Owen, as always, look, I think it's a very important issue, and it was a real staggering headline and very sensational. Thousands of farm families face ticking Fair Deal time bomb. But I think it's so important to bring to the attention of everybody, sooner the better, from mid-50s on, at least start the discussion within the family with your advisor and accountant. As always, Andre of IFAC Dungarvan, thanks for talking to us. Indeed, we'll be keeping a close eye on this over the next few months.
Thanks, Kieran.
Well, for an update on this year's tillage crops, early in the week I got a chance to talk to Donal Fitzgerald of Goldcrop Course / Moorman, based in East Cork, as regards this year's tillage crop. First of all, Donal, some change from this time last year.
Unreal, Kieran. Yeah, it's chalk and cheese, I suppose, how you describe it. You know, this year has been a dream spring for most. We've had the chance to get in early and get work done in good conditions. Yeah. You know, the fine weather has rolled on, and for those that are trying to get work done with spraying and putting on fertiliser and getting inputs on winter crops, it's been excellent.
And of course, last year, a lot of people exit or the year before last, the actual winter crops. This autumn, of course, a huge increase, getting back to normal as regards winter crops.
Yeah. I mean, 2023 was a disaster in terms of getting winter crops in the ground, and we had a huge surge in spring planting in 24 on the back of it. And then this autumn just passed, and say 2024, yeah, things were more normal. We expect the winter barley acreage is somewhere kind of between 50,000 and 60,000 hectares, and I would say winter wheat is probably similar, might even be higher than winter barley this year. And in oats, I'd say winter oats is probably where it should be, and winter oilseed rape is the only crop that came back, and that's probably because, to be fair, Kieran, when people should have been sowing oilseed rape, they were too busy harvesting spring barley.
Yes.
And that's a consequence then of the late sowing from last year. So it's amazing how these things can have a knock-on effect from one season to the next.
And of course, last year as well, because of the conditions and people late getting in, particularly in spring corn and not getting in winter at all, yields turned out pretty well. So harvest ended up reasonably well, but this year's a totally different ballgame.
Last year, just looking back on that, we had a very slow kind of ripening year, and it suited the late sowing date as it turned out. That wouldn't always happen now.
Okay.
And you know, if you take where we are this year, like, we've had reasonably good establishment. This time last year, we were looking at crops that where there was holes in fields, there was lots of parts missing, especially in winter crops.
Yeah.
And now this time around, we're looking at fields ditch to ditch that have a very good establishment. The disease pressure at the moment is low in all the winter crops, and that's a good omen. And they've had enough rain just at the right time, and the growth is just about spot on for where you'd like it. And in the spring crops, they got off to a great start. Again, very good establishment in most fields. Some tricky parts where there was a lot of heavy rain fell, and some parts, I know in Wexford, there was some damage done to crops. and there is some pest issues with leather jackets in some fields, but generally speaking, people are very happy with how things are looking, and some of the early sown spring crops are really looking very promising.
And of course, added value, be it malting barley, be it equine oats, be it oats for flavs and various contracts, it's so important that farmers get that, because that's the real added value.
It is, yeah. And when, I suppose, when you're trying to put, say for example, say malting barley there, when, yeah. I suppose one of the cornerstones of getting a good malting barley quality into your crop would be early sowing. So to have that box ticked, I suppose, at where we stand today is good. And equally, from an oats point of view, you know, I think we've been growing some tremendous oats for the last few years. The varieties there are very good, and it probably was the star performing crop last year, both winter and spring. And I suppose after that, you know, there's other crops, maybe like very limited opportunity for milling wheat in the country. And there's a lot of seed crops. We're involved in a lot of seed crops. Okay. And, you know, it's nice to get those in good order, get good establishments, and, you know, keep them clean and healthy during the year.
The other area we spoke about over the last number of years, indeed, the opportunity within break crops, particularly the likes of beans, oilseed rape. You mentioned the oilseed rapes back a bit, but beans, again, the potential of growing our own protein crops.
Mm.
Farmers are slow enough to take it up.
Yeah, it's the government put a scheme in place to try and, you know,
encourage
guys into growing more beans and encourage that. And it's been successful to a large extent because the area has increased a lot in the last, say, 5 to 10 years. I suppose the difficulty, going back again to last year's harvest and the legacy that left, because a lot of guys were forced into sowing late, and because they were ended up harvesting very late, and we were talking some guys not harvesting beans until into October, you know. I heard of one crop that wasn't even harvested until spring 25, and that just left a sour taste. And a few people had low yields, and they weren't, you know, I suppose, inspired with confidence in the crop. When you compare that against where cereals ended up last year, and particularly where straw values kind of really put a boost on the value of a crop. But that said, no 2 years are the same, and you must look at everything over a balance of years. And, you know, even if you look at the beans that have gone in this year, a lot of them were sown very much on time, in very good order, and they look tremendous now. I would be very, very happy with how beans look, and they have every opportunity of doing a very good yield and on a reasonable harvest date.
As regards livestock farmers and the tillage farmers looking at various options of crops, a lot of people are looking at different type of crops that they can include in their mix, different mixes.
You know, maize obviously is a huge crop on the livestock farms, and the area of maize is holding up really pretty good. Beet is also there, and we've seen an increase this year now too in the demand for cereal and protein mixtures.
Yes.
So I'm saying mixtures, for example, of, you know, oats and barley mixed with peas.
And would that be for a neighbouring dairy farmer or for the farmers themselves?
It could be, yeah. A lot of organic growers are going on this road because obviously the legume is a way of fixing the nitrogen in the soil. It feeds the barley crop. It also gives you a higher protein feed afterwards. And of course, when you grow a mix like that, you can also qualify for the protein aid scheme at a 50% rate.
Yeah, it's so a win-win.
It's a win-win, and it's a semi-break crop to some extent.
As regards then May, as we mentioned, beautiful weather last week, this week, would you have a concern then that could we have the ultimate problem of a dry May? And you mentioned there before we come in here that for some farmers this could cause a problem.
Yeah, I always think back to the old sayings are always good, and the old saying for May was always that a wet and windy May would fill the barns with corn and hay. And I'm not trying to dampen the mood on everyone here, but we do need a certain level of moisture in the soil to kind of fulfil yield potential.
Okay.
We've had a fairly dry spell now for the last 2 to 3 weeks, and, you know, it's great weather and everything else. Everyone's delighted with it. But as we run in towards the back end of May, if we don't see water, a lot of crops will come under pressure.
Stress,
and ground will tighten around it, and they will need a drink. So hopefully, I suppose, as one man said it to me, if we got rain at night time and sunshine today, we'd be happy.
That's it. So overall, Donald, from where we were last year, both spring and winter cereals, a much changed picture for the better.
Yeah, it is, Kieran. Yeah. The only, I suppose, to put a negative slant on it for some reason, is the price. The price prospects have not really improved as much as we'd like. The dollar has weakened, and that has kind of put pressure on where international prices are coming in at. the trilogy of how you get on in tillage farming is you need good weather, good yields, good prices. We have two out of those anyway, yeah. In terms of the weather is good and the crops look reasonably, reasonably promising. And hopefully the price will go up between now and harvest.
Dun Fitzgerald, the Gold Crop, as always, thanks for the update on this year's tillage crops. And we'll be talking to you throughout the season.
Thanks, Kieran.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
And welcome back to part two of Farm View. Now let's have a look at some items from our farming calendar. Firstly, turning to our farmer markets and country markets. And as always, we have a huge array of top quality farm first products available every week across the city and county. Saturday mornings, Wofford Farmers Market, John Roberts Square. We've Tramore Farmers Market, Priest Road, Tramore. Also on Saturday mornings, Stradbally Farmers Market every Saturday from 10 until 1. Sunday, Lismore Farmers Market back up and running at the Castle Avenue, Lismore every Sunday, and it runs from 9 till 4. While on Thursdays, it's Dungarvan Farmers Market, Grattan Square and Dungarvan from 9 till 2. While on Friday mornings, you have Dungarvan Country Markets, Causeway Tennis Club and Abbeyside. While also on Friday mornings, you have Wofford Country Markets in St Olaf's Hall. Turning to our livestock mart, Wofford Ross Mart, cattle sales every Saturday from 9, calf sales from 10, sheep sales every Monday at Wofford Ross Mart from 10 also on Monday morning. Turning to Dungarvan Mart, general cattle sale on Monday next from 11 and their weekly calf sales now of course every Thursday at 12 noon in Ring 2 at Dungarvan Mart. Turning to our point-to-point front, this Sunday sees the Bartlemy point-to-point in County Cork, the annual United Hunt point-to-point with the first race in Bartlemy time for 1 o'clock on Sunday. And finally, Jean was on to remind us that the Wofford Truck Show, yes, the annual Wofford Truck Show will take place this Saturday and Sunday at the Backstrand in Tramore. Huge array of vintage, classic and show trucks on offer. It's a fundraiser also in aid of the Tramore, Dunmore East and Helvig Arnelli, great charity indeed. And best of luck to all involved in the Wofford Truck Show this Saturday and Sunday.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, a very important event takes place in the coming weeks. It's Chagas in collaboration with Sheenock Estates and Carberry are delighted to announce a share farming and succession pathway open day on Thursday the 22nd of May. A very important event and indeed a lot of information will be imparted on today. So to discuss and preview the big event, I'm delighted to be joined by Ruth Fennell. Ruth Fennell is Collaborative Farming Specialist at Chagas. Ruth, this whole area of share farming, huge potential there.
It is. It's one of many collaborative farming options. I suppose this is a live demonstration. So it's a farm that was originally a dry stock farm. It was only a cattle crush on it in 2015 and was converted then into a dairy unit and has been operating under a share farm arrangement with Sheenock Estates and share farmers coming in. The way that the share farming operation works, it's basically two separate businesses operating on the one farm. So in the scenario that you're going to see demonstrated on the day, the land is owned by Sheenock Estates, which is owned by the Four West Co-ops. They provide the land and the facilities to the share farmer. So the share farmer that's currently there, he's the third share farmer since this farm was set up under such an arrangement, Kerry Desmond. He's there just over a year now. And what he provides is he bought the herd of cows into the farm. And in the share farm arrangement, what they do is all of the costs are associated with the land maintenance and maintaining the buildings and the facilities are paid for by the landowner. Kerry Desmond himself then runs the farm share farmer that's there. He provides the cows and he also covers the costs that are associated with the cows. So all of the breeding costs, the health and that. And what they do then is the remaining costs, so the likes of the feed, the general fertiliser, contractor and those, they're split on a 60-40 basis, 60% paid by the share farmer and 40% then paid by the landowner. And the milk output then at the end of the day is split 60-40 again. So 60% of the milk check goes to the share farmer, Kerry Desmond, and 40% then goes to the landowner, Sheenock Estates.
Because really, there's a lot of milk suppliers and farming families out there for various reasons don't have an obvious heir apparent or don't have one at the moment. It's definitely something somebody we should be looking at. And I know, speaking to several people who've been to New Zealand, it's very popular down there and works very well down there.
It's hugely popular over both in Australia and New Zealand. And I suppose the advantage that we see with this one is it's not a complete step back. So the landowner is still involved to a degree. So they're still operating. They're still having an input in relation to reseeding and how the farm is running. There are regular meetings that take place between the landowner and the share farmer so that they're kept up to date on the operations and how they're going on. But it obviously is for the landowner who is previously farming it and running it as a dairy enterprise, it would be a significant step back from where they currently are. We would see this as a huge model maybe for those that may have a successor that isn't ready to come in and take over at that stage, or may not be in a position that they want to go farming down the road. So it's an alternative for that. But we also see this as a huge advantage, maybe for young farmers coming out that don't have a farm themselves to come back to. Or in the case of Kerry Desmond, it was a small dry stock farm in not right. far from Bandon, and it wasn't something that he felt was going to give him a financial income going forward in the future. So I suppose this has opened huge doors for him and a great step on his farming career journey.
Obviously with the Ag College, we have some very bright guys coming through and very enthusiastic guys in the whole farming sector, but because they don't have a farm to go back to, this is an opportunity there. As regards, when you say share farming, are you talking about 5, 6, 7, 10 years or does it depend on both parties to draft up an agreement?
It very much depends on the party. The arrangement that's here is drawn up for 7 years, but there is a clause put in on that, that with 6 months' notice on either side's party, that they can terminate that notice. I suppose it's really up to the individuals that are involved. I suppose Kerry has put a good bit of work in relation to developing his career to put himself in this position. So he would have initially gone to Ag College and done his level 5 and 6. He then went on to Moorpark and did the farm manager's course as well too. And during that, he spent a period of time in New Zealand as well too. So he's really developed his skills. He was then working as a manager on another farm, and I suppose this is his first step now going out on his own. And I suppose on the basis of this, it's his first time running his own business, and he's now, the one thing that he loves about it, he's milking his own cows.
Yeah.
He's his own boss. And I suppose that's a great place for him. That was his target.
Now, as regards the big open day on Thursday the 22nd, now it's on the Gurteen farm, which can be misleading because it's Gurteen farm down in West Cork. The format that it will take, and before we come in here, you mentioned, which I'm delighted, Kerry, and you'll have a second speaker who has been already involved in share farming.
Yeah, so the second speaker that's going to be there as well on one of the stands, it's actually going to be 4 stands done on the day. So we'll not only be going through the share farming models and different collaborative options, but you'll be hearing about the performance of the farm itself. And on another stand then we also have Pádraig Coonan. Pádraig Coonan was the second share farmer that commenced in Gurteen. And like Kerry, he'd started off, he did his level 5 and level 6 and did the farm manager course in Moorpark. And was looking then to go out and set up on his own. And I suppose from his point of view, a young farmer setting up without assets themselves, getting financial backing from the bank can be tricky. I suppose the banks had huge interest in relation to promoting share farming and the fact that it was coming in as part of the Shinnok Estates. They were really happy to back him.
Okay.
That gave him a huge stepping stone.
Mm.
Not only had his own herd of cows then at the end of that arrangement, but it's given him a really good reputation with the bank as somebody that's, you know, keeps on top of their bills and is a good person maybe to bank going forward.
So the format on today, obviously you'll have stands around the farm, but more importantly, you'll have the two speakers who are part of the share farming and experienced in that whole area, but also the banks and the legal side of things, because drawing up the agreement is so important for this.
Yeah, just to mention, Pádraig is now out on his own on a fully leased farm. He's going to tell that story as to how the share farming was a stepping stone for him.
Okay.
Also as part of, so there's going to be 4 stands, as I mentioned, there's also then going to be a forum at the end of that. So we will have representatives from the banks that are going to discuss, not only for a landowner as to how to get yourself set up financially for such arrangements, but also for young farmers coming in to look at these arrangement options as to how they make themselves backable by the banks.
Right.
We'll also have then a legal representative who's going to go through these arrangements, because there's huge importance on getting that legal framework put in place so that these arrangements work going forward. And we'll also have our Chagas specialist on the day that will go through all of the options.
Look, I think it's fantastic. There's huge opportunity here. It's all about share farming. The big open day will take place on Thursday, 22nd of May at 11 o'clock at Gurteen Farm in Bandon in West Cork. Well worth attending. And as you say, for anyone listening to us or any family listening to us, it'll be well worth their while travelling down to Gurteen, just outside Bandon, for this big open day.
Yes, Kieran, I think there's a huge lot to offer. Look at not only those that are maybe looking to take a step back, but also those existing dairy farmers that are looking for additional ways of expanding their business, and also for those young farmers that are looking to get a foothold on a career in dairy going forward. So there's full details on it on the Chagas website with air codes and locations for anybody that would like more details.
Ruud Fenn, Collaborative Farming Specialist at Chagas. Listen, best of luck with this event. It's a Share Farming and Succession Pathway Open Day. It's once again on Thursday, 22nd of May at 11 o'clock at the Gurteen Farm just outside Bandon. Thanks for talking to us, Ruth.
Thanks very much, Kieran.
And before I go on to racing point to point and indeed show jumping front, we had a good week again for local Waterford Connections Cross Channel. Trevor Whelan, what a start Trevor has had to the flat season. Trevor was in the winner's enclosure at Newmarket and followed up again earlier in the week with a win at Wolverhampton. Back home, we had a good bumper win for Punchestown Festival for Ardmore jock John Gleeson, while at Down Royal, Kappa trainer Paul Kiley made the long journey up north to capture the opener at Down Royal, with knocking Butlerstown trainer Henry de Bromet saddling a winner on the flat at Cork earlier in the week. On the show jumping front, I want to say congrats and well done to young Dungarvan rider Orla Queely. Orla captured the prestigious Red Mills Grand Prix at last Sunday's Aglish Gymkhana. While up north at the Meadows Equestrian Centre RDS qualifier, great weekend for local Waterford riders. We want to say well done to Georgia Foley Shannon Kill, who won her qualifier at the weekend, and also to DJ Ken, Sam Wedger and Josh Fitzgerald, all who have qualified for the upcoming RDS Dublin Horse Show. Well done to all. Well, that's my lot for this week's programme. Once again, my thanks to Ollie for all he's helped in putting this week's programme together. So from myself, Kieran O'Connor, stay safe, and hopefully I'll have your company again same time next week.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.